came to go into the king, she did not request anything except what Hegai, the king's eunuch who was in charge of the women, advised. And Esther found favor in the eyes of all who saw her. Esther chapter 2, verses 12 through 15. Think of it. No job, no responsibility, no cooking, no cleanup, no washing, no ironing, no errands, no budget watching, no holding back in any area. Imagine, pampered and indulged in the self-centered harem of Persia. All of the emphasis rests upon her becoming a woman of greater physical beauty. Jewelry, clothing, perfumes, cosmetics, whatever she wishes, from coiffure to pedicure, are hers. The only thing on everyone's mind is to win this contest, to please the king and gain his favor. Remember, at this time, Esther cannot be more than 20 years old or so, and she could have been even younger. This is the chance of a lifetime to her to have whatever she wishes. Instead, she remains true to what she has been taught and abides by the counsel of Mordecai, believing that he knows what is best for her. She does not succumb to the temptation around her. The superficiality, the selfishness, the seduction, the self-centeredness. She displays an unselfish modesty and authenticity among unparalleled extravagance. I told you you'd fall in love with Esther. I smiled the other day when I came across the results of a survey which found that 15% of the women questioned tinted their hair, 22% wore false eyelashes, 38% periodically wore wigs or hair pieces, 80% wore rouge or some kind of facial cosmetics, 93% used nail polish, 98% wore some kind of eye makeup, and 100% voted in favor of a resolution condemning any kind of false packaging. As ironic as that may sound, I think that most Christian women do not use cosmetics to appear false or become other than who they are. The women we admire use cosmetics to enhance the beauty that is already there. I'm sure that was true of Esther. Frankly, I'm convinced that Esther went into the king without fear because she had no driving ambition to be a queen. Her life did not revolve around her physical appearance or making a king happy. She was there for one reason, because she knew that the hand of God was on her life, and through circumstances and Mordecai's wisdom, she had been brought to this place for a reason. To use one of my favorite expressions, she had her stuff together. She knew where she was coming from. She knew who she was. She knew what she believed. And she knew that God's hand was on her life. If it was his pleasure that she be there, if it was part of his plan, then she would willingly accept it. If not, she would willingly relinquish it. She was modest about her own person, and she was authentic. Fifth, Esther modeled a kind winsomeness regardless of her surroundings. And Esther found favor in the eyes of all who saw her. So Esther was taken to King Ahasuerus to his royal palace in the 10th month, which is the month Tebeth, in the 7th year of his reign. And the king loved Esther more than all the women, and she found favor and kindness with him more than all the virgins, so that he set the royal crown on her head and made her queen instead of Vashti. Esther chapter 2, verses 15 through 17. Clearly, Esther had something about her that caused everyone to favor her, from the king to the women in the harem who were competing against her for his attention and affections. I think she must have had a winsomeness about her. Webster says winsomeness is being pleasant, delightful, attractive in a sweet, engaging way. A person who is winsome draws you to him or to her. We are intrigued by that person's charming and gracious spirit. Sixth, Esther displayed a humble respect for authority. Then the king gave a great banquet, Esther's banquet, for all his princes and his servants. He also made a holiday for the provinces and gave gifts according to the king's bounty. Esther had not yet made known her kindred or her people, even as Mordecai had commanded her, for Esther did what Mordecai told her, as she had done when under his care. Esther chapter 2, verses 18 and 20. Many people seem to think that when you marry, you no longer need to remember parental advice, or that when you get out on your own, you're totally and completely on your own. You think for yourself and do whatever you want. Yet here we see that Esther, even in becoming the queen of the land, remembered the wisdom of her guardian and willingly considered his counsel. In the past, I have shared this list of traits with my own beloved daughters, hoping that they will not only think about them, but cultivate them. And it's with the same sense of care that I share these things with you today, because I personally believe they are more needed than ever in our environment of insecurity and sensuality.